Right now, is Philip Morris stock a smart buy? Welcome to Global Value. In this video, we're going to dive deep into a fundamental analysis of Philip Morris stock ticker PM. We'll use Warren Buffett's most important financial numbers, compare the stock against competitors, and then figure out three different prices for Philip Morris to really understand what it's worth in today's market. Stay with me till the end because our final fair value and rating might just surprise you. And there's more. I'll also share a special bonus that could be the deciding factor when adding Philip Morris stock to your portfolio. So, is this a great chance to make money? In the last year, their stock price is down 1.5%. This trails the S&P 500, which is up 33% over this time. In the last 5 years, Philip Morris stock is just up 8%. This is also way underperforming the market, especially since COVID. In the past decade, that's also the case. The market and Philip Morris were neck and neck up until about 2018, and then things changed a lot. Since that time, Philip Morris underperforms. When we go back to when the company was split off from its parent Altria, Philip Morris has returned 81% overall, compounding at about 4% annually. But that's not all for Philip Morris. Today, the company pays a huge 5.45% dividend yield. If that were reinvested into their stock, their gains would be comparable to the market, but still slightly underperforming. Today, Philip Morris trades in the middle of its 52-week high and low. And how big is the business? They have a $148 billion market cap, and with the debt they use, a $195 billion enterprise value. So what does Philip Morris actually do? Philip Morris is an international tobacco company with a product portfolio primarily consisting of cigarettes and reduced-risk products, which include heat-not-burn, vapor, and oral nicotine products. These are sold in markets outside of the United States. The other half of the legacy Philip Morris business, today that's called Altria, operates within the U.S. The company diversified away from cigarettes with the 2022 acquisition of Swedish Match. They're a leading manufacturer of traditional oral tobacco products and nicotine pouches, primarily in the United States and Scandinavia. It farther diversified away from nicotine products with the acquisition of Vectura, a provider of innovative inhaled drug delivery solutions, in 2021. Now, getting started with the Select 6 analysis, metric number one, we want their average return on capital to be above 14%. This is because over the long run, it's a company's return on capital numbers that really drives its business. These numbers will roughly match a stock's return throughout its long-term future. Philip Morris earns very high returns on capital. These peaked in 2021 after coming out of the pandemic at nearly 63%. Still, in the last couple of years, since their Swedish Match acquisition, the company, even with that added capital in the business, still earns around 31% returns on capital. That's way above an average company that only earns around 7% returns on capital. When they're averaged out, Philip Morris brings in 45% returns on capital in a normal year. That's 6.5 times better than a normal business and gives a pretty big margin of safety on the quality here. It's a big check on metric number one. In our second metric, we want to see growth. It's harder making mistakes investing into a growing business. Here we want their sales, earnings, and free cash flows to be up. In this time, Philip Morris has grown their sales or their revenues from $29 billion to $35 billion. These are up 18%. But however, the company's profitability numbers haven't kept pace. Their earnings are up 9% over this time, so that's also growth, yet their free cash flows are down 15%. This comes after their Swedish Match acquisition, where their cash flows from operations actually decreased. Those declines are due to some inventory write-offs in the last couple of years, to the tune of about $2 billion. That more than enough makes up for this cash flow shortfall. The company also stopped sales in Russia due to the ongoing war in Ukraine. Because their free cash flows are down, it's an X on metric number two. In our third metric, we want to look at Philip Morris from the view of an individual shareholder. Here, we're looking for earnings per share growth. In this time, the company's earnings are up 9%, and they've just marginally bought back a small percentage of their shares, less than 0.5%. Still, because of their earnings growth, their earnings per share have grown over this time as well. They're up to $5.02 per share in 2023. It's a check. Our fourth metric is similar, but even more important. Here we want free cash flow per share growth. This is because free cash flows are truly the lifeblood of any business. A company's value is ultimately determined by the amount of free cash flow they're able to generate between now and judgment day, discounted back by a reasonable interest rate. Philip Morris's free cash flows per share are down over this time. This is because the company's cash flows are down, even though they did buy back a small amount of shares. Today, Philip Morris brought in $5.08 worth of free cash flow for each share they had outstanding. Ultimately, that's a decline from where they were at in 2019, which means it's an X on metric number four. So far, through four metrics, we're split evenly. We have two checks and two X's. Before we look at the company's debt and try to figure out what Philip Morris is worth, why don't we check in on our bonus? Right now, Philip Morris pays a market-beating 5.45% dividend yield. But is it safe? That's the question we're trying to figure out through our bonus. We want their dividends to be supported by their free cash flows. This was the case in four of the last 5 years, but 2023 was different. At the same time that their cash flows came down, Philip Morris was increasing their dividends per share. If Philip Morris's history is combined pre and post their spinoff, they've grown their dividends in each of the last 53 years. This puts them in elite category as a dividend king. That's why Philip Morris was growing their dividends over this time, even as their cash flows came down. Management is trying to live up to that dividend king reputation, even when it may not be the most prudent thing to do for shareholders. Still, they must be banking that their cash flows are going to be able to rebound in the future and fully support this dividend growth. That's not the case today, however, so it's an X on our bonus. If their cash flows can't support their dividend, can their debt? In recessions, it's businesses with too much debt that can have the biggest losses and even go bankrupt. You don't want to invest into broke companies. That's why in metric number five, we want the sum of their free cash flows to be greater than their net debt. With two big acquisitions in their last couple of years of business, Philip Morris today has $46 billion in net debt. They've more than doubled their position since 2021 alone. Even as their free cash flows have declined in the most recent year due to some challenges, the company is still able to bring in enough cash flow to support this debt load. In the last 5 years, Philip Morris has brought in $47.3 billion of free cash flow. That's just enough to support their current net debt position. But if their free cash flows don't rebound, things could be a little hairier for Philip Morris. Still, it comes in by a slim margin and it's a check on metric number five. Yet it's something to look out for, especially as they can't fully cover their dividend today. Now, the big metric of them all, metric number six, which also serves as our first valuation metric, we want Philip Morris's average 5-year free cash flow divided by their enterprise value to give us a yield attractive to the 10-year treasury. Historically, the S&P has traded for around a 5% free cash flow to enterprise value yield. We'll look at that as an average for Philip Morris because free cash flows can be lumpy year to year. Today, the company has a $195 billion enterprise value, which is what we get when we add their market cap and their net debt together. This helps us look at Philip Morris more like it's a private business. In an average year over this time, Philip Morris brings in $9.45 billion of free cash flow. When we divide that by their enterprise value, it gives us a 4.8% average free cash flow yield, just slightly below what we're looking for. Currently, they brought in $7.9 billion of free cash flow in their last 12 months. Today, that gives us a 4% current free cash flow yield, also in line with the 10-year treasury, but below the risk premium we want. That's in line with the 10-year treasury, but below the market historically. Because of this, it means it's an X on metric number six. Don't just throw Philip Morris out. You're going to want to keep watching our next two valuation metrics before we put these together for our final fair value at the end of the video. Our second valuation uses a DCF model to project Philip Morris's free cash flows into the future. Here we're taking an average of their last 3 years of free cash flow, then growing them into the future using historical growth assumptions. It's up to you to do your own homework to figure out if these are applicable or not. Assuming Philip Morris grows their free cash flows at 3% in each of the next 10 years, and then in the following decade, we'll assume that this grows by 2% each year. We won't add in the company's tangible book value as it's likely skewed based on how much debt the company has and because they're relatively asset light. Yet if we want a market-beating 15% rate of return, which is what Warren Buffett looks for from his investments, then today, based on this DCF, it looks like Philip Morris has a value of around $47 per share. Keep some key points in mind that Philip Morris hasn't been that predictable in the past and that their recent results may have been hampered by macro events. We'll use a GF value as our third valuation for Philip Morris, which today comes in at $110 per share. This factors in analyst estimates for Philip Morris, and there's more information on this on our Patreon found in the description. Philip Morris is split on a number of these different valuation models. Now let's compare Philip Morris to its competitors and figure out the business's key qualities before we put these all together for our price and rating at the end of the video. How does Philip Morris stack up to its competitors in the tobacco industry? There are only a few tobacco companies that trade in America: Philip Morris, Altria, British American Tobacco, and Imperial Brands. Two of these and most of the world's tobacco companies are headquartered elsewhere. As a whole, it looks like this industry is priced pretty cheaply. They trade for a forward PE of just under 9x and around 11x free cash flow. Philip Morris does come in more expensive than this, but they're by far the biggest company in this category and probably the highest quality as well. They have some of the best return on capital numbers out of any of these businesses. Today, 8 super investors own Philip Morris, and that list is led by Terry Smith, the British Warren Buffett, and Tom Russo, 2 very esteemed value investors. Let's look at a long thesis first. Number one, with 23% global market share, excluding the US and China, Philip Morris is the world's largest publicly traded tobacco company by volume. Its scale, customer loyalty to Marlboro, and addictive products give it meaningful pricing power. Number two, successful commercialization of IQOS in the United States is likely not being priced into the stock and may represent an entirely incremental volume for Philip Morris, which generates no sales in the US currently. Number three, cigarette loyalty tends to be strongest in the highest price segments. And with its positioning skewed to premium brands, Philip Morris is among the best positioned to benefit. But it's not all positives. Let's look at a short thesis as well. Number one, fat tail risks still exist for the tobacco companies in the form of litigation and draconian regulatory controls. Number two, with most of its net sales derived in foreign currencies and only about 1/4 of its input costs in dollars, a strengthening of the US dollar can have a materially negative impact on earnings growth. Number three, a great deal is still undetermined about the tax and regulatory environment of cigarette alternatives. This could play a significant role in the future profitability of the business. Now, this far in our fundamental stock analysis of Philip Morris, stock ticker PM, we learn they go 3 for 6 on the Select 6 analysis. While the company has been growing sales and earnings and they earned very high returns on capital, their free cash flows have suffered due to some inventory mark-offs in the last couple of years. These recent declines in free cash flows correspond with 2 huge acquisitions for the company in the last several years. Because of this, today the company has just enough free cash flow to support their debt position, but they don't fully support their dividend, even though they're historically a dividend king. When we consider their fundamentals, how they trade compared to their peers, and their business qualities, today it looks like a fair value for Philip Morris comes in around $83 per share. That's down $12 from their current stock price and down $20 from their street target price. Philip Morris looks slightly overvalued. If you enjoyed, share your thoughts and watch this next video.